Jane very helpfully talked about connections earlier, and we didn't talk before the service. So the Holy Spirit has gone before us, which is always a good place to be. But connections really matter. They matter in all kinds of ways. You know this. You might think about the connections of family. Husband and wife are definitely connected in a very particular way, a one flesh kind of way. And from there, children and parents share a connection that goes way beyond having the same last name. Think about your family and how you're connected to them. In church and in the world, we're trying to reawaken those connections, aren't we? The connection of friends, workmates, older acquaintances, or maybe even forgotten friends. But perhaps the most interesting connections we try to make are not about family, they're not about friends, they're not even about church. They're about sport, aren't they? Despite the madness of the world, the return of sport has been hailed as essential. You might agree. We had the Euros, we had Wimbledon, the Tokyo Olympics went ahead. They paved the way for the return of sport. And why did that matter so much? Because at every level, we crave connection. US Open happened last week. You might have heard about it. Emma Raducanu won the ladies' final in glorious fashion, became the first female singles Grand Slam champion for 44 years. Here she is. Picture of triumph. What's the connection? Well, let me announce to you the secret that we all know, that we all feel. Emma Raducanu didn't win the US Open. We did. Great Britain won. Did you notice this? We claimed her as our own. Football teams, rugby squads, individuals of all kinds, they don't win games and tournaments. We do. My team was playing last week. We won. Our girl, Emma, was in the US Open final last weekend. We won. When it comes to the gospel, this is the big feeling we should feel when we say, Jesus won. He gave all he had. He gave us everything he had. Jesus wins, and we share in that win. Story of Esther teaches us the same truth, the same feeling. In case you've never been told this, it's the feeling of the gospel. And the first thing to say is really how that happens. Last week was the once upon a time intro to the book. We're introduced this morning then to some of the characters, the first being Mordecai. And his introduction is like a lot of others in the Bible. We're given a little bit of his family tree. It's a very tricky thing to read. But what matters is the presence of this family tree more than the individual names. What the Bible's trying to do with these little family histories is wake us up to the reality of the action of the story. When we come to a family tree, something is about to happen. And you think about it, you see that from everybody significant, from Abraham all the way to Jesus. So what's so important about Mordecai? Well, the short answer is that he's a faithful Jew. He's a faithful servant of God. That's what verse 6 was saying. Here it is. Mordecai had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, among those taken captive with Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He's been faithful to his people. He was with them in exile. And if he's faithful to his people, then it rolls on. He's also faithful to his family. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah. There's the real name. Whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. The way that is told to us means that we can start to see how the faith and actions of one man will affect the whole nation. You see that? Go back to your sports teams or someone like Emma Raducanu. The one does something for the many. The one wins the victory for the others. And Mordecai's faithful influence will move way beyond himself. That's what Mordecai is doing in the story. You'll see this again and again and again. But we're here to meet Esther this morning, aren't we? The way Mordecai's faithful influence moves is through Esther. Except she's not introduced as Esther. She is Hadassah. Now, there's all kinds of studies here on the names and what they mean. I think that's really interesting. Maybe not necessarily in church this morning. I will email it to you tomorrow. But it's interesting in its own way this morning. Let's actually look at the whole of her introduction. A cousin named Hadassah, who you brought up because she's neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. One thing to spot there, folks, is the two names. Hadassah is a Jewish name. Esther is more Persian. But the Jewish name comes first. Remember how Mordecai was faithful to his people and his family? Esther will be as faithful. But before anything, before being beautiful or with a lovely figure, before becoming queen of Persia, she is an ordinary Jewish girl. Now, she will keep that identity a secret for a while, but she's Jewish first, a servant of God, one of his special people. Remember the big idea this morning. Keep it in your mind. The one acting on behalf of the many. The other thing to spot here is that she is the ward of Mordecai. Her parents are dead and gone. Mordecai has raised her. He's taken her like a daughter. And you and I see kindness in that. We think, how lovely. But the Bible is also live to the authority that gives Mordecai. And we'll see this in the story. Esther will consult and make decisions with her uncle, who is like a father to her. She is someone who is faithful. She finds favor with whoever she meets. I'll not read this one to you, but there you can see special treatment. She wins favor. She's a great girl, beautiful, a great figure, witty, clever. She's really popular. People are really taken with her, but none more than Xerxes. And that's how she will help all of her people, because salvation comes from the Jews, the Bible says. That is true of Queen Esther, but it's a pointer to King Jesus. It's true for him too. Salvation comes from the Jews. Let's talk about Xerxes. Xerxes is particularly taken with Esther. The king was more attracted to Esther more than any of the other women. Remember last week we talked about how God makes things happen, that God is always there. We should read that verse and see God. God has made Esther beautiful and attractive, and we'll see it's for this very reason. God wants Esther to be queen of Persia, and beauty, inside and out, is the way she will attain that goal. This is the providence of God hiding in the beauty of a young Jewish girl. Now, it's 2021. At the risk of painting women as nothing more than beautiful objects, we should read on. King was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. it looks like she's just pretty, but there's more to it, isn't there? That's a comment on her character. It wasn't just her beauty. It's her whole person. She must have been witty and charming, wise and wonderful in all kinds of ways for Xerxes to find favor in her. But that's not actually what happened. What does the Bible actually say? It's the other way around. Look carefully. She wins favor from Xerxes. There's a subtle difference there. Because who she was mattered. The result, we heard, we know the story. The result is her coronation. A royal crown. He makes her queen instead of Vashti. Remember her? A great banquet, Esther's banquet, and a holiday for everybody in the empire. The one brought out of the rags of exile into the riches of Susa so that she might effect great change for her people. Do you know, this is God's way. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. That will be good news for Esther and her people. In a sense, she doesn't become queen. They become queen. They gain the influence of the royal household. Do you see it? So what? Good for Esther. What about you and what about me? Why should we care? Well, in the church, this one for the many is the central truth of who we are. Because there was a Jew named Joseph who took a young girl for his wife called Mary, and because they had a baby. And from the dirt and the lowliness of the Bethlehem barn came the King of Kings. That wasn't just good news for Jesus. That was good news for us. Jesus didn't win the world for himself. He died and he won for us. We won. So that Psalm 113 isn't just true for a girl named Esther. It's true for you and for me. He raises us from the dust. He lifts us from the ash heap. He seats us with princes, with the princes of his people. That is the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, in Esther's life was your hand. And in her story is the bigger story of the gospel, that your son died for us to rescue us and to seat us with you. Father, may these things be real to us this week and in all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.